News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Well, John Delaney, as we mentioned, is expected to leave his role as Executive Vice President of the FAI this week following talks over the weekend. The move comes after more revelations of John Delaney's extensive company credit card spending in this weekend's edition of the Sunday Times. Well, earlier today we asked Niamh Brennan, who's the Director of the UCD Centre for Corporate Governance, if Delaney's spending raised serious concerns.
I think the allegations in the Sunday Times are just adding to quite a number of revelations, all of which raise some concerns about corporate governance. The specific allegations in the Sunday Times are of use of a credit card and quite a lot of spending on a credit card, some of which looks as if it may be personal spending. And from a corporate governance point of view, you would expect there to be systems and controls within the organisation in relation to any staff member using credit cards. And the systems and controls would include a robust authorization process. Most businesses, there is extremely high scrutiny on credit cards because of the risk that they would be used for expenditure of a personal nature as opposed to expenditure relating to organisational business.
Yeah, that was Niamh Brennan of UCD speaking to us earlier. Joining us now on the line is Aaron Shearer, barrister, former League of Ireland player and an advisor to the GPA. Aaron, we'll talk about John Delaney and corporate governance and all of that in just a moment. But I suppose just for people listening, we should say the reason we're speaking to you, I understand, is that you're interested in the job. You'd like to be the CEO of the FAI. Is that right?
I'll apply for the job. Let me put it that way. I certainly didn't intend that the interview would form some sort of a job application process, but I think I'll definitely apply for the job.
Why do you want to be the CEO?
Again, I don't want to just set out why I think I should be. I suppose the next CEO should be a little more boring, and perhaps a lot more boring and a lot less high profile.
Can you be that man?
Well, I'm saying I have those attributes in bucket loads, yeah.
Well, look, tell us then, why does the next CEO, do you want to talk, say, directly about yourself? Fine. Why does the next CEO need to be, as you said, someone a little bit more boring?
Well, a lot of it became about John Delaney. I think a lot of the emphasis on, from an FAI point of view over the last 10 years, has been on things that I don't necessarily think have been beneficial to the game in Ireland. I think things like bringing the UEFA Cup to Ireland 10 or so years ago, having the draw for the Euros in Dublin, even next summer's three or four matches in the Euros, they're all quite sexy things. But I don't quite buy the idea that that type of profile at the high level necessarily translates into success at grassroots or in terms of the development of young players. I think if we look at the throughput of talent into the national team over the course of the last 10 or 14 years, it's become something of a trickle. I mean, I take the view that I don't think we produced a top-class international player since Robbie Keane or Damien Duff, and that's 20 years ago. And
much of that is the fault of John Delaney and the FAI, and how much of that is just a reflection of the fact that in that 20 years, the Premier League has really just become the world's league, and your Robbie Keane, your Damien Duff just don't get a look in?
No, I think that's entirely true. But I think it's more nuanced than that. I think what we have continued to do is send our young players over into an increasingly competitive market. And there's a law of diminishing returns there. Our youth structures still seem to be premised on the idea that a young fellow will go across the water, get a contract, and ideally then develop an international player. And that clearly isn't a model that's working. And I think talk from the likes of Brian Kerr and Niall Quinn in terms of reforming the national league, so that you have a genuine, well-funded, competitive local structure that provides a base and a learning point for young players, rather than going over and, for example, spending years of 16 to 20 in the likes of the Brentford and the Orient Reserves.
That learning base, is that to be found within the League of Ireland? Is that what you're talking about? Like really strengthening the structures of the League of Ireland?
Well, I think so. That strikes me as certainly a more beneficial model to the development of our young players than the current model.
How do you do that?
Well, I think that requires funding. And I mean, it's not a quick fix by any means. But I think when you hear the likes of Niall Quinn talking about the potential, at least, for attracting corporate investment into the League of Ireland. I think it's at the very least an idea that's worth looking at. I think the likes of Bohemians, for example, show a model now in terms of trying to develop a club and expand a fan base that might, we don't know how this will work out, but it might just lend to a more functioning and more well-resourced League of Ireland. Certainly during the course of the last 10 or 15 years, I think it's fair to say that there has been no emphasis at all in the League of Ireland. And if you even look at John Delaney's rent allowance, that on a per annum basis is more than the team that finishes third in this year's League of Ireland will get in prize money. Now, that's a distorted logic.
John Delaney now, if he was here, would say, hold on, like, let's set aside the League of Ireland. That's only one way of developing players. And actually, if you look at everything else I did for grassroots in this country, I have a great track record. He'd stand over his track record there in terms of the amount of funding he's pumped into local clubs, in terms of an overhaul of youth development structures. He would point to that and say, look, I actually have done a huge amount.
Well, there are two things there. One relates again to the issue of corporate governance. And the way John Delaney, I think, gave out money was really by way of something of a roadshow around the country. He visited, by his own admission, something in the region of 2,000 clubs. Mm. And what he was doing in a lot of those instances is giving out grants to clubs. Now, was that strategically done? I don't know. It seems that John Delaney made decisions in relation to who would get grants rather than there being some sort of central oversight and central plan as to how FEI money was going to be spent.
Yeah, that's a question I suppose we can only understand if there's a kind of an audit of the decision-making process about how the grants were allocated. But like, if your assertion is that we need more funding going out to these clubs to develop players, that it was going out to them.
No, I'm not necessarily saying it should go out to the clubs. What I am saying is that we need to look at the way that we spend money in terms of the development of local talent. Now, the other point that you'd raise was in relation to the change in the youth structures.
And on paper, the under 13 to under 19 leagues,
and
for
on
example.
Paper, I have to say 13s, 15s, 17s, and 19s is a good idea. But again, that's going to come down to resources. The amount of money I understand that it takes to run a single club in the National League is something in the region of 60,000 to 65,000 euro. Now, the clubs that are going to be taking that expenditure on are clubs that are already cash strapped. Now, where is that money going to come from? Another issue that arises in relation to that is what happens, for example, at the ages of 14, 16 and 18, you're going to have players who are playing a year out of their age group at 13, 15, 17 and 19. Now, what does that mean for the smaller players or the players who have developed less quickly? There's a year there where they're going to struggle and that may very well have a demotivational effect on them. And then
is that done differently in every other country? In every other country, they have 13, 14, 15, 16, 17?
I don't think it is.
Okay. So we, at the moment, our structures are the same as everywhere else, but we could be doing better.
Well, as I say, I think on paper, the idea of a national league is a very good one. But again, and like everything else, it comes down to resources. How well resourced is this going to be? At what point are League of Ireland clubs, maybe 3, 4, 5 years, going to look at this and say, well, what am I getting out of this? Because again, the model appears to me to be to get a fella to go across the water, to get some sort of a compensation package from an English club, and for that money then to go back into the whole process. But if the idea of sending a player over to an English club now looks like something of a busted flush, or at least much less successful than it used to be, then the business model seems flawed.
Aaron, can I ask you one very final question? If you were to become the CEO of the FAI, who would you like to see looking back at you around the boardroom table when you're at a meeting? Are the faces that are there at the moment, or a whole set of new faces, including maybe people from outside of football?
I don't think it's tenable that the current board stay there, I have to say. And it'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of the next 24 hours. I mean, there's a significant negotiation with John Delaney in terms, I assume, and this seems to be the mood music, that there will be a termination package there on the basis of his credit card expenditure. I don't think his expectations are going to be low. I wonder to what extent there's even the expertise on the board at the minute to deal with this immediate issue.
All right. On that note, Aaron Shearer, a barrister, former League of Ireland player and advisor to the GPA. Aaron, thanks a million for speaking to us.